Simplify your life today.
Sound suppression water system activated. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis on a mission to build, resupply, and to do research on the International Space Station.
Houston now controlling. Atlantis begins its penultimate journey to shore up the International Space Station.
Control Atlantis.
Atlantis now in the proper alignment for its 8.5-minute ride to orbit. 4.5 million pounds of hardware and humans taking aim on the international outpost. 30 seconds into the flight, Atlantis almost 2 miles in altitude, almost 6 miles downrange from the Kennedy Space Center already, traveling 500 miles an hour. The three liquid fuel main engines now throttling back to 72% of rated performance, going into the bucket, reducing the stress on the shuttle as it breaks through the sound barrier. 55 seconds into the flight, all systems operating normally, 900 miles an hour. The speed of Atlantis right now, 6 miles in altitude, 9 miles downrange.
Atlantis, go with throttle up.
Copy, go with throttle up.
The throttle-up call acknowledged by Commander Charlie Hobaugh, joined on the flight deck by Pilot Butch Wilmore, Flight Engineer Randy Bresnik, and Leland Melvin. Seated down on the mid-deck are Mike Foreman and Bobby Satcher, kicking off their work week with a Monday commute to orbit.
All right. And we thought we'd kick off our show with the Atlantis shuttle blast-off to the International Space Station. How cool is that sound? I dig it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I loved hearing those commands from the Space Center from the time I was a kid. Now you think about it, the shuttle only goes into next year and then the program is dead. I promise you I will broadcast a show from Cape Canaveral in the near future. So this one is all about securing the International Space Station. In other words, parts, baby. You know, those spare parts they were talking about. High-pressure gas tanks, pumps, power units, battery supplies, parts for the station's robotic arm that so much is made about. All the things that you need up there to make sure that the astronauts, the crew up there, are set for a while. By the way, the astronauts that went into space on the Atlantis will spend Thanksgiving most likely there. And there is one astronaut whose wife is expected to give birth, so it looks like he'll probably have to miss that as well. And what a cool thing to see this one take off. And I think that this struck me as interesting, too, because I happened to get a Twitter from David Gregory. You know who David Gregory is, the Meet the Press guy. And apparently he was in the air and actually saw the shuttle. So he was close enough wherever he was above the skies flying into somewhere where he could obviously see the shuttle blasting off. And what an interesting view I thought that would be. So the shuttle did go off at 2:28 from the launch pad. Launch pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. I am going to take a tour of Cape Canaveral when I go down to Orlando. I guess it's next week. So I'll bring back all kinds of stories. We're hoping that we've got lots of interviews with astronauts. And like I said, in the near future, that we'll be able to broadcast the show from Cape Canaveral, hopefully from a shuttle launch. But you know how these things go. They can't tell you definite times because a lot of times, as you know, the launches are scrubbed. Speaking of being scrubbed, here's something I wish was being scrubbed. The idea that Gitmo was coming to the United States. And you know this. We talked about this a lot on our last show. And if you go to AmericaTonight.net and you go to a section called What You Missed, we post various things from the shows. Look up Jeff Atticott. He's our terrorism expert here on the show. He's great. He comes on. He advises the FBI. He was the one who was behind the School of Terrorism Law in the United States. He served for decades and really knows his stuff, so much so that the government reaches out to him that often he's found testifying. He is so not on board with Gitmo, legally and for other reasons as well. And as you know, if you happen to be listening when he was on the show, he went to Gitmo a little bit over a year ago and saw the feces being thrown and the people being spit on and all that sort of stuff. But the bottom line is, it's not about, okay, these terror suspects are doing this to guards and Gitmo, and how can we bring them to the United States? I think plain and simple, it's just a security issue. Now, the push is, look, we got a couple of really depressed areas in the United States. You see unemployment. You take them to Michigan. You take them to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And more importantly, how about if you take the detainees to this Illinois prison? You know how many jobs you'd create? Thousands of jobs. So the new Gitmo would be good for people here on this soil, people who are unemployed in a very economically depressed town. Now, again, legally, there are so many complications to this. And as you know, and as far as I know, in my latest check earlier in the day, there has been no funding approved for moving the terror suspects from Guantanamo to the United States. So in the meantime, you've got this deal with the prison and who's going to be there. Then you have the five detainees, terror suspects, headed to trial in New York federal court, because, of course, it's not just Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So the assumption there, by the way, because, of course, why think ahead, is that they'll probably stay in the nearby Metropolitan Corrections Center during that whole trial. And, I mean, this could be a long trial. And it's going to be probably a temporary holding site, if you will, for any other trials in New York that would come out of September 11th, the attacks. So you could have these terrorists that would be held literally just right around the corner from their courtrooms, right? And then you have the others that would be, if they're going to be tried in U.S. soil, and then it's going to be New York is going to be the destination, that would be in Illinois in this other prison. So there are a lot of problems, logistical problems too, that are going to be more than a headache for the people who have to deal with the specific situation, guards, etc., security, all of that sort of stuff. But the logistics of this, the trials, the tussles that could emerge in the federal court districts alone would, I think, does nothing here. And I would think you'd have to consider other remote locations, right, to house some of these suspects. And we'll see. We'll see if somehow you've got this relief or this funding that pushes the terrorists or so-called detainees to a bunch of cells at the Thompson Correction Center in Illinois. And then you have the others that are being tried in New York. And then the question is, what happens to the others as related to September 11th? And what about the jury poll here, too? What would that be like? You think it would be a little bit biased if we're going with a, quotes, fair federal trial? And why should they be processed? Why should they have the same rights that you and I have? Why should that be? Quite simply, they shouldn't. This should have been a military commission, a tribunal. It totally makes sense, and it makes no sense to bring them to New York or, frankly, to Illinois, the rest of them, or any of the other places that they're considering. You might disagree, or you might think I'm right on the money. Either way, throw in your 2 cents during this show, as we have four huge hours here. 800-259-5791. Bugs and a crime. It's interesting. We're going to talk about it next.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Did you know that the dollar has lost 10% of its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Let's put this another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metal accounts, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
This is an emergency alert. More than half the world's doctors and nurses are refusing risky vaccinations this fall. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz, a Harvard-trained public health expert, urging you to avoid risky vaccinations, especially this flu season. Rely on OxySilver instead. OxySilver's broad-spectrum action makes all vaccinations and antibiotics unnecessary. OxySilver is the most advanced silver hydrosol, far safer than colloidal silvers. It works so well, saving lives and money, protecting and healing you and your family. It has been targeted for elimination by the drug cartel. So get it while you still can. Order OxySilver online at OxySilver.com. If you call right now, I'll send you a free information kit. Call toll-free 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Order OxySilver today. This call could save your life.
Thermal imaging equipment and some of that ground penetrating radar, that's what they call it, outside of the murder suspect's house, Anthony Sewell, who looks to be a wicked serial killer if they can nail him for all these bodies, and not just in the United States and not just in Ohio either, but it's, like I said, becoming a very high-tech kind of thing, and they're finding, again, all kinds of bodies, and they're also worried about some overseas as well. And some of what they're doing to tie him to this has become rather interesting, almost CSI-ish, if you will. Remember how so many of us got sucked into that show and felt like we were learning more about bugs and crime scenes and some of the gadgets that are used? We're seeing this definitely as evidence in these Cleveland murders. Who better to join us than Tim Downs, a forensic entomology expert. And, of course, he is the Bug Man, or he's got the Bug Man series going anyway. His recent book, remember we talked about it before in the show a couple of months ago, Ends of the Earth, revolves around Dr. Nick. Hey, thanks for coming on the show again, Tim. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, good to be back.
Let's talk about that. What the FBI is crawling around all over the place. What is it that they're looking to learn from about the Cleveland victims from this form of forensic, entomology?
Entomology is the study of the insects that are naturally attracted to bodies when the bodies die, sort of nature's recycling program. And there's a very predictable order in which those insects arrive. and a very specific timetable that they grow and develop at. And by collecting the insects from those bodies, they can actually construct a timetable to tell exactly how long a body's been dead.
Ooh. And, you know, it's you're an expert in this, obviously. And when you look at death and how you can look at a bug and figure out what's happened with a body, what kind of bugs are we talking about?
Well, it's flies mostly, blowflies and flesh flies, the kind of shiny silver, green and blue ones that you see all the time. Those are the first insects that are attracted to bodies. They sort of circle in the air. They're the females looking for a place to lay eggs, and they look for decomposing tissues because that's where their young will feed. So they're very good at picking up the scent of death, and their rate of development is known exactly by scientists, and that's why they make a very good timetable. After 72 hours of death, forensic entomology is the most accurate way to quantify that postmortem interval, and it's important because that tells them who is a suspect and who is not.
How long has forensic entomology been around, Tim?
You know, it was first used about the year 1200 in China. There's a story about there was a village and somebody had killed somebody there, and so one of the wise guys in the village lined up all the villagers and had them lay their sickles out in the sun. And they just waited and watched, and flies were attracted to one guy's sickle. Even though he had cleaned it off, there were still microscopic traces of blood, and so he was known to be the guilty guy. So people, just by observing nature, have known something about this for a long, long time, but it's really only in the last, you know, 20, 30 years that it's really come to be a well-known science.
Yeah, no kidding. And as something that's now a well-known science and getting our hands around this and understanding it, how long does this take? Because you know that there are people that are families of missing women who want to know what happened. And, of course, they're trying to tie this to Sewell, the guy that I talked about who's the suspect. How long does this kind of investigation usually take, this kind of work?
Well, unlike television, it takes a lot longer to get your test results. What they're doing with bodies usually when they collect insect evidence is that they have to collect maggots. There's no other way to say it. They have to take them back to a laboratory, and they have to put them in the same conditions they found them at the crime scene, same temperature, same humidity. And then they have to raise them to adulthood, and that's because it's very difficult to determine the species of an insect while it's still in its larval form. You have to wait till it grows up. So they just wait and watch until it emerges as an adult fly, and from that point they can kind of time backwards and make their calculation of time of death.
Yeah. Wow, it's fascinating the way we go about trying to solve crimes. And you talked about this. It's different than TV. I said CSI because, remember, the head investigator, that was his deal. The very first year they did CSI and all the way through, he was the guy who looked at the bugs, and that's always what he went after at the crime scenes, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. But I bet some of what we see, because I've heard this from other forensic experts in other areas, that, hey, just like what you just said, it's not as quickly done as what you see on the tube, and it's sometimes not quite as glamorous as it's portrayed either. Painstakingly, you have to go through a lot of other hoops. So are there things that we see on TV that just are not accurate? Is it besides the time?
Hey, well, I'll tell you, there's nothing about forensic science that's glamorous. It's pretty dirty work, especially if you're raising insects. But, you know, it takes a lot longer than they show on television. They always have to compress time just for the sake of the TV show. Test results come back instantly. They don't in real life. And it's not always so clear. You know, I've been told by crime scene investigators that they walk into a murder scene and 70% of the time they know exactly who did it. But they have to construct a chain of evidence just for the sake of the courtroom trial. And that's a lot more what it's really about. You know, forensics and TV is always the silver bullet that solves the crime. It doesn't work so much that way in real life.
You know, I understand the books and the passion for the writing and, of course, for what you do. But what ever sent you in the direction of becoming a forensic entomologist expert? When you were a kid, did you just like bugs? Were you fascinated by them? I'm curious.
You know, not at all. It was just several years ago. I was reading an article in a science magazine about this emerging science of forensic entomology, and I thought, first of all, this is fascinating that we've learned to use nature to learn from it this way. And the second thing I thought is, this is gross. And that's when I knew I had the makings of a great story. So I came up with my character, Dr. Nick Polchak, and he's been my central character in 5 novels now.
Well, see, I think you have some another novel possibly brewing here that you could work into some of the things that we're seeing happening in real life, right? Because we're seeing this played out a little bit more, not just in this crime in Cleveland, but in a couple of other spots, too.
Oh, absolutely. Truth is stranger than fiction. I can't make up stuff stranger than what happens in real life. You just learn from it. And, yeah, forensic entomology is used in a lot of situations. It's a very respectable science now. It's been proven. And there are more and more people who do this, though that's another difference from television. On TV, the guy in CSI, he just dabbled with bugs along with all other forensic tests. In real life, if you want to do forensic entomology, you need a PhD in entomology.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of studying, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Tim, it's always interesting to have you on the show. And again, you've got the Bugman series, Ends of the Earth. We talked about that last time. People can get that at Amazon.com. I think even in Barnes & Noble, et cetera, any of the bookstores, right?
Absolutely, and they can get the first 3 chapters for free on my website. Just come to authortimdowns.com. You'll learn about any of my novels there.
All right, Tim, thanks. You have a good one.
Thank you, Kate.
So in what Tim's saying, it's interesting because now you've got 11 women that were murdered in Cleveland in this Anthony Sewell. They're trying to put the timeline together for the murder spree. As I mentioned before we went to Tim, they're even talking about the possibility that there are more bodies to be uncovered, not just in the United States, but he was in the military, and they think that there may be more unsolved crimes that they can tie him to. But, of course, one step at a time, they're using the high-tech stuff that they have, searching and trying to review everything, and to make sure that they have all the remains. Remember, they found the skull inside his house. They found some other bodies, too. They were worried about next door. They were worried about the 2 adjoining properties, if there was anything that they could find. By the way, the registered sex offender, which is infuriating to me. So this was a guy who served 15 years in prison. He pled guilty to attempted rape, and now he faces 5 counts of aggravated murder, rape, felonious assault, kidnapping in the deaths, and who knows how many more. To me, I mean, there he was right in the midst of everybody. And, of course, it's that typical story you see played out on the 6 o'clock news in your local area. Wow, he was a great guy. Always friendly, waved hello, grabbed my mail for me when I was away. And right in the middle of all that, he allegedly was murdering these women. Mm-mm-mm. Odds and Ends coming up moments from now here on America Tonight.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number 1 year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For thousands of years, Native American healing has been practiced in North America. The Native Americans discovered an astonishing healing plant called Siaga. This pesticide-free, wild-crafted, all-natural wonder is handpicked by a medicine man and effectively combined with other all-natural and sacred ingredients into a product called Defense. These key ingredients not only supply powerful immune system building blocks defending your body against natural and man-made viruses, but they also assist your body in healing itself from life-threatening pain conditions. HealForGood.com's defense capsules are Native American practitioners' remedy. Start now with a 100% money-back guarantee. Mention this ad and receive $5 off your first 3-month supply of defense capsules. Call 1-877-HEAL-4-GOOD. 1-877-HEAL, the number 4-GOOD. That's 877-432-5446. Or order online at HealForGood.com. That's HealForGood.com.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Do you believe it? Thanksgiving is right around the corner. A couple of quick programming notes for everybody listening to America Tonight. We have our normal Nail the Score in our third hour on Friday this week, but next week we're going to do it on Tuesday. Plus, biggest turkey of the year. Who you think the biggest turkey is of the year? Dana in Texas called us. Our Dana in Texas called us just the other night, and she already had her biggest turkey. She wanted to be the first in the gate, and her turkey was Obama getting the Nobel Prize. So it can be almost anything, just stretch your imagination, or something that's pretty obvious that happened during the year. We're going to do the biggest turkeys on Tuesday, next Tuesday, along with Nail the Score and a whole bunch of other things as we get ready for the holidays. I'm going to Orlando to see my family, so it'll just be a couple days when I'm gone and then back in the saddle at America Tonight. So for Turkey Day, that's where I will be. Many of you, I hope, will be with your families as well. I'm excited because on a personal note, I have a 93-year-old grandfather who is in an assisted living place, and he's still, his mind is sharp as a tack, just a great guy, served in a couple of wars and has awesome stories about all kinds of things, was a trucker at one point in his life. And it's always fun to go and see him, and that, I think, is what I'm looking forward to the most on Thanksgiving. So next week, a shortened week with a whole bunch of fun stuff on the first 3 days of the week, certainly, and it includes everything that I just mentioned and some great guests, too, coming on as well. Whew. Thinking of the stuffing. We're not supposed to eat the stuffing. Donovan, what's your favorite part about Thanksgiving? Is there some part of the meal that you like, or is there something you like about Thanksgiving?
I like the stuffing.
I do too. When you know when Dr. Leslie said stuffing, I like cringed because I'm like, oh, I could just eat the stuffing. Are you kidding? That's my favorite part. Do you like bread, the traditional like bread stuffing, or like people make cornbread stuffing? There's all kinds of stuffing.
I typically make a traditional bread stuffing.
Yeah, that's what I like too. Ooh, it sounds good. You get that bread and you tear it up the night before, get it stale.
Yeah, and typically soak it in herbs from my garden and whatever I'm basing the turkey with. It works out pretty well.
Yeah, good for you. I'm the same as you, the same thing. And I have herbs from the garden, too. So how about that? And it's awesome. I mean, it's my favorite part of it. And of course, because it's the bread, you know. bread and potatoes, right? And to me, there's nothing like Thanksgiving. I like the holidays in general, not so much because of the food and everything. It's the family stuff. And the food, I guess, goes along with that. And to me, it's the whole ritual thing. It's getting up, it's football games, it's watching the Macy's Day Parade, a little bit of it. I know. It's just, you know, whatever it is, the big balloons, the same things, but there's just something about it. And that's already, my friends, right around the corner. Can you believe it? Next week, Thanksgiving, and then before you know it, it's going to be 2010, and what are we going to be talking about? So in the upcoming weeks, we'll wrap up the year, look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. and the ugly, and talk about things that are coming up in the future, both in Washington and maybe in your neck of the woods, too, across the country as we zig and zag all over the place. A couple of things to re-rack headline-wise. Coming up in our next segment, of course, we have News You Can't Abuse and birthdays and this day in history. But before we get to that, some of the things that have happened across the land that you might have missed, sort of a re-rack, if you will. We know this. The president has come out and said that the alleged 9/11 leader will be executed, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, because he was asked about the decision of the Attorney General Eric Holder to try the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others in a New York City courtroom, which Mayor Bloomberg. He's never a mayor. He skipped the whole mayor thing. Mayor Bloomberg says is going to cost at least $75 million a year. And you know what? It's not even, the cost is brutal, but it's not even so much about the cost. It's about the security concerns to me and, ooh, what's going to possibly happen in New York? Hopefully, absolutely nothing. And hopefully, because now it's happening, Mohammed will get the death penalty and the same with the rest of the gaggle of guys with him put away forever or whatever. But it's very risky business. I can tell you this, if something does happen, and this would completely blow up in Obama's face and it'll be tough. If they're playing for another 4 years, good luck on that one. And we'll also look back at the year that was for this president, as we would with any other president we've done in the past here on America Tonight. All right, here's another interesting story that kind of slipped under the radar for a lot of people, and I don't know if we've mentioned it at this point or not, but a federal judge ruled on Wednesday that the Army Corps of Engineers' failure to maintain a navigation channel led to that flooding of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Now, this is what's interesting. This decision could make the federal government vulnerable to billions of dollars in claims. So the judge sided with six people and one business who argued in that area that the shoddy oversight of the Mississippi River/Gulf outlet led to the flooding of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward neighborhood and a nearby parish. He did say that the Corps couldn't be held liable for the flooding of eastern New Orleans, where two of the plaintiffs lived, but not for the others. So he awarded them all together $720,000, but the government could eventually be forced to pay much more in damages. The ruling will give more than 100,000 people, businesses, and other government entities a better shot at claiming billions of dollars in damages. And think about that. That was 2005. I think it's a good ruling because that's exactly what happened. they had shoddy work. I mean, it was preventable. Some of that was preventable. There's no doubt about it. Had to be an emotional ruling for some of those people, since so many were nailed by that. It was about the flooding and that failure to maintain the levee that's protecting the city. Now, granted, you know, it's in a bowl. They built in a bowl. But still, there's no question that how things were designed there led to that, and maybe some of that was preventable. You think of the, you know, I care always, I care more about the human loss first. But you go to the human loss, and then you go to the property loss, the livelihood, just so much that happened in that city, so much devastation that they went through, and how much of that could have been avoided if the work had been better. I mean, they had to know, even based on previous things that happened, that, you know, this was a possibility that they could be flooded and just not, everybody was so concerned. I remember I was on the air that night. I was on the air all those nights leading up to it and around it, et cetera. And I remember talking about Katrina and how they were predicting such a massive amount of force. And the focus, so much of that focus, none of it was on the levees, not really. I mean, barely anyone even mentioned it. Geez, will they hold up, or who would think, or whatever, or the flooding. Everything was about the winds and what's going to happen when this comes in here, and, you know, what are we going to do? How do we, you know, we're going to get battered around by this hurricane, and, here we go again. But it didn't turn out, obviously, as all of you know, to be that. It turned out to be the levees that killed so many people with the flooding. I mean, who can't remember in their minds those images of those people on the roof and some of them getting rescued, and then all those bodies? Wow. And how much, maybe not all of it, but how much of it could have been prevented? And then, of course, the other thing is Mayor Ray Nagin. I just don't get it. There were all those empty buses. There were things that could have been forced that didn't happen. And it was nothing but sad tales coming out of that city. And there still is. Because if anyone's been back, some parts, I mean, the traditional, you know, the French Quarter, et cetera, is like it was and like you imagine. But there's still, it still is a city that is, if it's back on its way, it might be, if it's back and getting it together. But it's not the same city, because I've been there a couple times, and it doesn't have the same feel to me. And there's just something still missing. And I guess it's because these many years later, these 4 years later, it's still that rebuilding process. And so many people ended up leaving New Orleans and didn't want to go back. And, you know, can you blame them? They started a life somewhere else, in Houston, in Dallas, in the Northeast, in the Midwest, pulled their family's roots up. I mean, people had been there a long time. That was a city known for massive traditions. So you had generations after generations. You know, there's certain cities and areas like that where everybody knows. Still, you still have that flavor of people knowing each other around the corner, certainly next door and around the block, where there's this other section of society or of us who move around, and it's just always different people and places that you're moving to. But that city, I thought, definitely had that feel of that feel in some areas of people who had been there and families who had been there for a very, very, very long time. All right, as I mentioned, coming up next, birthdays. Wonder how many names on the list you will recognize tonight. Hopefully, you're going to recognize some of the names. It's a mixture of actors and musicians, as it always is. Well-known celebrities in some cases, and those that aren't quite as well-known. That's coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Celebrating a birthday on this very day, talk show host Larry King. How old do you think Larry King is? Let's see how good Donovan Mattson is at predicting Larry King's age. As he is kind of like Methuselah. It seems like every time I've turned on the tube, even when I was a kid, he was on the radio and then boom, he was on CNN. How old is Larry King? How old do you think, Donovan?
I'm going to say 62, but the fact that he bathes in the blood of virgins probably means he's like 344.
Wow, 62. I should send this little piece of tape to Larry King. You could be working for him. He is 76 years old. Yeah, 76. Hey, he's had like five wives. He's got two young boys. That'll keep you young at heart, right? Also celebrating a birthday, and we'll get to birthdays, not this segment, but later, but I just wanted to kind of just give you a primer for it, you know what I mean? Newscaster Ann Curry is celebrating a pretty big birthday. I like Ann Curry. I think she's good. I think she should have gotten the, and then I like Meredith Vieira, whatever, she's fine. It's not, I don't watch the Today Show. Usually I'm snoozing by then, but I thought she's done some good work, and she kind of got passed over to me when they made the switch from Katie Couric. But anyway, she's celebrating a birthday. Also, Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams. Anybody know who Grizzly Adams is? He's got a birthday. Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa has got a birthday, a big birthday. That's, you know, one that has a zero on it. Jack Welch, you know him from former GE fame. He was the former CEO. He's got a birthday, too. And maybe you're celebrating a birthday. If so, enjoy the day. There's just something, you know, when you hit a certain age, I think when you hit, I don't know, maybe it's 21, really. When you hit 21, then all the birthdays after that, I think you just, is it the same as when you were a kid? It's not. But there's something to that day that you just have to remember, whew, another day of living, another day above ground, baby. And I live in the greatest country. Keep telling yourself that on the face of the earth, because we do. That's why we care. That's why we get on our soapboxes and we get upset at things that are happening in Washington. Because, really, frankly, I want our way of life to stay the way it is. Absolutely. All right, time for a little news you can abuse. And there's some decent ones here. And this is one about pot, door-to-door pot. Selling pot door-to-door might have seemed like a good idea in Brownsville, Texas. That was until the salesman knocked on a policeman's door. Yep, the cops in Brownsville charged Anthony Carrasco with 3 ounces of pot that he was trying to peddle. According to police, the 19-year-old knocked on the apartment door of an off-duty cop. The officer said he'd be right back. He went to get his badge, his handcuffs. Carrasco had a gun. He's now being held on $10,000 bond. What a dummy. Why would you even take that chance? I'm just going to randomly, like you're selling Girl Scout cookies, I'm going to randomly knock on doors and ask people if they want to buy some pot. Stupid. Denver. Fish and chips? Well, no way. How about a burrito instead? London, they make a big deal about this, is getting a Chipotle Mexican grill. Have you ever eaten there? They have a bunch of them in Dallas. It's the first European location for the Denver-based chain. Uh-huh. Company officials say they're looking at possible locations in Paris and Munich, too. The London burrito place is set to open next April. Guacamole. How would that sound, somebody ordering that with an English accent? I'll have the guacamole, please. I do a weak English accent. I'm no Renee Zellweger and Bridget Jones. Taylor, Michigan, rock, paper, scissors. Did you ever play that when you were a kid? Rock, paper, scissors. It took Tim Conrad 5 hours, 9 matches to win the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships in Toronto. The Michigan guy ended up defeating his best friend, Tom Butkin, for the crown. His winnings move him into some pretty interesting company. He takes home $7,000 along with a title. That's not bad. All right, 5 hours of playing rock, paper, scissors, and you get $7,000. And that's a game of chance odds. There's no tell signs for rock, paper, scissors. Not like, you know, in professional baseball, I always watch to see if a pitcher tips his pitches by how he's holding his glove. What would be the tip off for what somebody's going to throw you on rock, paper, scissors? I can't think of one. All right, here's the last one for you. From New York, Wayne and Garth as Christmas ornaments. Remember them? Saturday Night Live favorites. They decorate the windows of Barney's New York right now. They're 2 life-size papier-mâché characters, including the church lady, Rosanna Dana Dana, John Belushi's King Bee. Oh, that was a cool character. Simon Doonan, Barney's renowned creative director, says he wanted to have fun in a very dismal year. He hopes people are going to see the Coneheads in the window of the fashion mecca and smile. But here's my question. Barney's is an upscale store. So do you think it's going to draw in the people who are depressed by what kind of a year it's been? You know, I'm not so sure about that. Although it'll certainly bring some levity. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there is a method to his madness. All right, today in history, November 19th, 42 days left in the year. Back in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address as he dedicated the National Cemetery at the site of the Civil War battlefield, of course, in Pennsylvania. Been there many, many times. 1600, King Charles I of England was born in Scotland. In 1794, the United States and Britain signed Jay's Treaty, which resolved some issues left over from the Revolutionary War. In 1919, That's pretty long time ago, huh? The Senate rejected the Treaty of Versailles by a vote of 55 in favor, 39 against, short of the two-thirds majority needed for the ratification. In 1959, Ford Motor Company announced it was halting production of the unpopular Edsel. Also, in 1977, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat became the first Arab leader to visit Israel. In 1985, President Reagan and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev met for the first time. They began their summit in Geneva. Boy, 85 seems like a zillion years ago, doesn't it? 10 years ago, hundreds of anti-American protesters battled riot police, and they set stores and banks on fire. President Bill Clinton rode through Athens in tight security and proclaimed a profound and enduring friendship with Greece. 5 years ago, in one of the worst brawls in U.S. sports history, I remember I was doing a sports show, Ron Artest and Steven Jackson of the Indiana Pacers charged into the stands and fought with the Detroit Piston fans, forcing officials to end the Pacers' 97-82 win with 45.9 seconds left. All right, it's time for birthdays. Let's see if you recognize some of these names. So I told you Grizzly Adams, Dan Haggerty, is 68 years old. Former Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson is 68. Calvin Klein, you know, Calvin Klein jeans, 67 years old. Sportscaster Ahmad Rashad used to be really famous, 60 years old, because he saw him on the tube all the time. Actress Kathleen Quinlan, 55 years old. Actress, director Jodie Foster, Contacts, a whole bunch of things. Bad News Bears, if you go way back. No, she wasn't in Bad News Bears. She was in Contacts. What else was Jodie Foster in? The Accused, a whole bunch of other things. 47 years old. Oh, yeah, Hannibal Lecter. Remember that? Silence of the Lambs, that was a scary one. Actress Meg Ryan, also with a big birthday, 48 years old. Olympic gold medal runner Gail Devers, 43. Rocker Travis McNabb, 40. Country singer Jason Albert from a group called Heartland is 36. Country crooner Chad Jeffers is 34. Olympic gold medal gymnast Carrie Strug, 32. Also celebrating a birthday on the other end of the scale, TV journalist Garrick Utley is 70 years old. Singer Pete Moore from Smokey Robinson and the Miracles is 70. Talk show host Dick Cavett, 73 years old. I told you about Jack Welch, 74 years old. Larry King, we already mentioned him. Remember, Donovan was so flattering. Oh, he's in his 60s, early 60s. Actor Alan Young is 90 years old. Former NASA astronaut Eileen Collins is 53 years old. Again, happy birthday if you're celebrating a birthday. We're going to leave you with this. You simply cannot hang a millionaire in America. Who said that? Burke Cochran, an American politician and orator.
I don't know the meaning of the word surrender. I mean, I know it. I'm not dumb. Just not in this context.